Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics column. He's based in London. We go to the worldwide story of, is it inflation? Is it temporary? What difference does it make to, right now, the recovery from the pandemic in the U.S. and globally? Joe, a very good evening to you. I note that the consumers in America are hesitating. Perhaps it's the Delta. Perhaps they've noticed the price inflation at the supermarket and at the gas pump. I read from the survey of consumers by the University of Michigan. The steep August falloff in consumer sentiment ended in early September, but the small gain still meant that consumers expected the least favorable economic prospects in more than a decade. Just two components posted additional declines. Buying attitudes for household durables fell again in early September to a low reached only once before in 1980. And long-term economic prospects fell to a decade low. The decline in assessments of buying conditions for homes, vehicles, and household durables left all three near all-time record lows, with the declines due to spontaneous references to high prices. I'll end there, Joe. Is this inflation? Is this the recovery? And why does it matter? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hi, John. Well, I mean, what I find so interesting about all of this now is that it highlights the extent to which the inflation can, certainly be a phenomenon in its own right, but it can also be a symptom of other things that seem to be going wrong in the economy right now. And I think that certainly it's reasonable to look at a lot of the consumer sentiment data in light of inflation, because it highlights the extent to which households who experience rising prices generally feel a greater sense of unease, because as they see the price increases, especially for things like food and energy, are starting to snowball, they know that their pay is not increasing at the same rate, and that makes them very uncomfortable about whether they're going to be facing a squeeze at some point in the future, and that can shape economic activity today. And the key part of this is the wages, because I think that the phenomenon that we're starting to see is, even though sometimes you've seen some wage growth, it has not generally been enough to compensate for the higher prices that people are experiencing. And especially since the government data are probably undercounting inflation when you factor in the true cost of housing, whether that's rent or the cost of buying a home. And so I think that this is showing how this economic environment seems to be slipping out of control of policymakers who don't know what to do about the inflation or anything else, is now starting to create a lot of disquiet on the part of individual households who really face the difficult task of figuring out how they're going to put food on the table, gas in the tank, when they don't know what is going to happen with the price level or with their wage.
The Wall Street Journal report in these last days, James McIntosh, points to the fact that inflation looks to have been checked in August with only a 0.1% month-on-month increase. However, there is a warning to this. Inflation, writes the Wall Street Journal, was held down by a retreat from travel as the Delta variant of COVID-19 reasserted itself. The cost of airfares and hotels plunged, with airfares down 9.1% month-on-month, the biggest fall since data began in 1989. And he goes on to say the deep problem for investors, echoing you, Joe, is to tell apart inflation due to temporary effects on particular sectors and inflation due to easy monetary policy and government support. It is only the second, a sort of deep core inflation, that really matters to the Fed. And there is no sure way to to split out the impact. In other words, Joe, are we all flying blind? Is that what the Wall Street Journal is reporting? The Fed is, Europe is, we are?
Yeah, I think that the policymakers are definitely flying blind on a lot of these inflation questions. Because economists, this will surprise a lot of people who are not economists, but in the economics world, there are not really good explanations for what causes inflation. I mean, there are a lot of different theories out there, many of which have the virtue of being at least partly true. But then you find yourself in a situation like this where clearly something is happening in the economy. It's not normal that you see the kind of price movements that we're seeing these days, even if those price movements are confined to some parts of the economy and not others. And in real time, economics doesn't offer a really satisfying way of understanding what is causing any of it or what the future path of that is likely to be. So I think that definitely there's an element of policymakers having to make it up as they go along. And that also is probably not reassuring for a lot of households.
No time for pause too much on the inflation story since the crystal ball is all cloudy. So we go to another story that's weighing on the markets, weighing on everyone, Joe. It's Evergrande, the largest, I've learned suddenly, the developer for real estate in China, a builder as well as an investment that is now plunged to something like a quarter for a 25 cents, 29 cents for a share, fallen off the cliff. The story is non-transparent because it is China. But we're given to understand that it's facing reorganization at best, a liquidation at worst, and counting on some happy event, perhaps the Chinese government getting involved in paying bonds that are due, payments that are due, but they also have to pay their builders and their suppliers. There are photographs appearing in the Chinese press passed on to the Hong Kong press, passed on to the world, of huge building developments throughout China halted. The workers have gone home. There's said to be unrest by the investors who are waiting for apartments that they've put money on but haven't been built yet. You were many years in Hong Kong, Joe, and you observed the People's Republic go through all of these twists and turns. How do you measure Evergrande? Is this I think the fancy term is Minsky moment. Is this 2008? Or is this a product of China's non-transparency? We can't tell.
I think we can't tell. I mean, so I think the important thing to understand here is that there are two broad dimensions on this Evergrande story. There's the international dimension, and then there's the domestic dimension within China. The international dimension is the easy one because it sort of doesn't really end up being that big of a deal. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical that this market sell-off that we saw in foreign markets, including the U.S., on Monday was actually related to Evergrande because there aren't really a lot of linkages between that company or many parts of China's economy and foreign financial markets. I mean, you just are not going to have a lot of American or European or Japanese banks who will be holding a lot of Evergrande's debt, who will be particularly exposed or under systemic risk if that company fails. I mean, the bigger problem is domestically within China, which I suspect is where most of Evergrande's debt is. And the challenge that is emerging now is just figuring out where all of that debt is hiding in the economy. Only less than a third of this $300 billion worth of liabilities that Evergrande has seems to be in the form of bank loans or corporate bonds that they have issued, where you can know pretty easily where it is. A lot of it is actually payments that they owe to suppliers or apartments that they owe to home buyers who prepaid for flats that haven't been built yet. And I think that it's going to be working that kind of thing out is going to be difficult, especially because many of those suppliers have probably then sold those accounts receivable on to other people because that is, that kind of trade finance credit is a big part of China's gray financial market. And then you have all of these households who might have invested in the company who are aggrieved and have actually been protesting, which is very unusual in China. And I think the big first challenge that Beijing is going to face before they figure out whether they're going to bail out Evergrande is just figuring out to whom would they have to give money in order to execute a bailout.
Is this a Lehman moment? It's the question that comes up in our market. And so far, the answer from the smart set on Wall Street is no. What is it, Joe? How do you recognize an analogy?
I kind of think it is not going to be a Lehman moment, just because what creates that sort of event is market pressure. You know, the fact that institutions like Bear Stearns or Lehman or any of the others that ran into trouble in 2008 faced transparency requirements. They faced contractual obligations to, you know, pay their debts or, you know, covenants associated with debts that had various conditions on it, so that it was actually possible for them to default. And none of that is really true in China, where it's still a very closed financial system, so that it's basically, various Chinese entities and individuals shuttling money and credit between each other, relatively weak rule of law, which will give Beijing a lot of opportunities to step in and say, you guys will get paid, you guys will not get paid, you guys are going to transfer your tranches of Evergrande debt to this other body, and then we're going to require those people to write down that amount. I think that there's much greater scope for Beijing to try to stage manage this than there ever was in Western economies, but Beijing has to do it very quickly.
I'm speaking with Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's a columnist, the political economics column based in London. We're observing inflation worldwide and Evergrande in China. We're going to turn next to the dominant story in Europe right now, which is sharp words between Paris and London, between Paris and Canberra over an alliance announced in these last days. But those sharp words very much come to a lingering matter of Brexit. Brexit is involved in this because the negotiations continue between the EU and parts of the rest of the European Union, Ireland, Britain, and to do with agriculture. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.